In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Well, Jesus is passing through the city of Jericho, and he finds, well, what you might expect to find in a city. He finds a rich man who is also a tax collector. That's probably, in the minds of many people, two strikes against little Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus wants to see who Jesus is, and boy, is he going to find out who Jesus is. Not just who Jesus is as a matter of spectacle, but Jesus is going to enter his house and proclaim that salvation has come to that house and that Zacchaeus is also a son of Abraham. Joining us to talk about Jesus and Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 on this Monday afternoon, March the 19th, Deaconess Pam Nielsen. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be back.
The story proper of Zacchaeus and Jesus ends with Jesus' own words, where he says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Is Jesus himself telling us what this story is really all about?
Well, that's really at the heart of it. You know, if we see this just as a story about this tax collector in this moment in time, back many, many years ago, and see it only as that, in that context, then we miss that all of the stories and events and happenings that are recorded in God's Word, while they happened, they were true with real people in real places and in time and space, they are also for us to teach us to speak words of God's forgiveness and mercy to us. And so even in this 10 short verses in this story about this odd little man, Zacchaeus, that every Sunday school kid can retell because of the little song that gets sung every year, Jesus very much makes clear what the point of the story is. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And as we talk about it, we're going to see that he makes that point specifically by calling out Zacchaeus and interacting with him. This wasn't happen chance. This was all intentional as Jesus was making his way resolutely, straightforward towards Jerusalem, towards his eventual suffering and death for the sins of all, great and small, tall and short, little and big sins for all. And this is part of that message and part of helping the people then and the people now, us, to understand why he came and what he came to do.
Why is it important to note where Jesus is headed?
Well, because of where this falls in the context of Jesus' life, you know, we have these four Gospels that take us from his birth to his death to his resurrection and ascension. And this story is set on the last leg of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. And that journey takes him passing through Jericho. And it's a few days before Palm Sunday, and we can get all of that by reading in and around this short 10 verses. Luke 19 gives us a good setup for that. So just before this, Jesus has given his mercy in healing a blind beggar who was a resident of Jericho, and now he's running into this other resident of Jericho in need of mercy, Zacchaeus. And he's a tax collector, works for the Roman government, he overtaxes people. There's all kinds of reasons for people to think he's the worst of the worst, greatly to be hated, unforgivable, worthless, and it is by design that Jesus makes certain to encounter Zacchaeus and teach him and call him to faith, offering him forgiveness. Was a lesson for him, but it's a lesson for all. So this is all part of that march to Jerusalem so that we understand who he is, why he came, and what he will do and did and does for us. And conquering Satan, death, and sin, granting us forgiveness, life, and salvation.
So tell us the story briefly, how it goes in Luke chapter 19.
Well, sure. Very, very brief, 10 verses. Jesus is passing through Jerusalem, and there's this man, Zacchaeus, chief tax collector, and doesn't necessarily know much about Jesus. He's heard about him. That seems apparent. On account of the crowd, he's not able to see. So Jesus is drawing a big crowd, as he has been doing, and Zacchaeus is short, can't see, so he climbs up in a tree just to get a view. And when Jesus gets to that tree, he simply looks up to him and says, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus scurries down from the tree, and the text says he received Jesus joyfully. And the crowds around see this exchange, and they immediately grumble and say he's gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And then Zacchaeus speaks to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone, I will restore it fourfold." And then Jesus simply says to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." He's referring to the house of Zacchaeus, "since he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Now,
that's the story.
You noted this contrast before, and I'd like you to talk about it a little bit, because the context here is, of course, Jesus has just healed this blind beggar, another famous story. So you've got a very poor man on one end of kind of the rejected side of society's norms, the blind man.
Mm-hmm.
And then this guy, he's well off, but he's also outside what would have been, I mean, he's referred to as a sinner, probably in the same way that the blind beggar would have been referred to as a sinner.
Well, that's right. In that day, people looked at the sick, the infirm, the blind, the deaf, the crippled, as having done something. They or their parents or family having done some great sin that brought this awful consequence to them. And so they would view them with disdain. They would view them as sinners. And they were cast off from society and put away. The blind beggar, of course, is someone who needs the mercy of Christ in a very physical, tangible way in this life. And Christ addresses that and gives him his sight and enables him to live more fully in this world. But his greatest need is the same need of Zacchaeus, someone who doesn't know the mercy of God, who doesn't know the love of Christ and the forgiveness of sins. And to both men, he makes that clear and gives them the forgiveness of sins and gives them faith, implants that in them so that they look to Christ and to God as their Savior. And he creates faith in them through his words and his deeds, just as he does in our lives today. So, yeah, you have both spectrums. One, viewed a sinner by his whatever his physical, broken physical state is. Another, viewed a sinner by his very acts of obvious swindling and robbing the people through his vocation as tax collector. And both cast away from society and both looked down upon. So here you have Jesus doing this, and it's all part of the journey. And interesting that you know that people have expectations about him. The disciples are traveling along with him. They wonder, you know, why he does some of these things and some of the stories, that's very clear that they don't really understand. But during this journey, he's doing both miracles and teaching. And doing that, he has both his death and his resurrection directly in view. All of these things are foretastes, foreshadows, hints of the greater thing to come, the ultimate crushing of sin, death, and the devil, the ultimate working of righteousness, the ultimate forgiveness of sins because of what he was on his journey to do on the cross in Jerusalem.
Is it also perhaps a contrast between these sinners who are so joyful, and that's the emphasis in both cases here, to receive and to be served by Jesus in this way, and what Jesus is facing from the religious establishment only a few days later in Jerusalem?
Yeah, the religious establishment, the very ones who should have known who he is by now, should have figured it out. They were most intimate with the Old Testament writings and the promises and the prophets. But they don't see Jesus as the Son of God, whereas these outcasts of society, these hated ones, these great sinners, see him truly for who he is. They are given eyes of faith. And, you know, we want to make clear, especially as we teach children this week, it isn't anything that Zacchaeus did. He climbed up in the tree to see this guy, but he didn't know who he was. He'd heard about him. And it's Jesus who stops at the tree, and Jesus who looks up at him and says, "I must come to your house today." It's Jesus who works faith in his heart, and it's Jesus who gives him the forgiveness of sins, and Jesus who declares him as one who has been sought and saved. And that's something we want to bring out. Otherwise, it might be very easy for a child to think, oh, you know, because Zacchaeus did this, this, and this. No, this is all the work of God, and that's how he works with us. We don't have to do anything.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon with her. It's March the 19th. We're talking about Jesus and Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You know, this story of Jesus and Zacchaeus is a staple of Sunday school curricula for probably as long as there have been Sunday school curricula. You'll find it in every single one of them, regardless of where they come from. And most of them, sad to say, will tell this story in such a way as to highlight not Jesus, but Zacchaeus. Oh, this man, small in stature, but great in faith, or something like that. Well, he certainly was great in faith, but the focus should not be on Zacchaeus, but on the one who he trusted in Jesus himself. And Jesus makes that quite plain at the end of the story. Now, this is something unique to the Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. Not the emphasis on the Christian, but upon the Christ. You'll find it in every lesson that you'll find in Growing in Christ. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for a free sample of Growing in Christ, their Sunday school curriculum for all ages. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pam, the remarkable change of heart is probably the thing that leads a lot of people to misinterpret this story in favor of kind of Zacchaeus's virtues. He doesn't know who Jesus is. The next thing you know, he's giving away half of his possessions, which we're told were considerable, and he's promising to repay probably a lot of ill-gotten gain. How did that happen?
Well, you know, that's kind of at the heart of this and at the heart of understanding it. You know, he really does make a bold statement. The half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold. That's huge. Everyone knows how much he's taken. He knows better than all. And he's in making this promise, he's going to, you know, take away from his wealth. So very easy to think, oh, you know, he does this and that's what gets him favor with God. But no, Jesus says to him, today salvation has come to this house. It's the faith that he's been given through the word of God, through the Son of God who speaks that word to this man, that causes this response. And, you know, it really is something to hone in on, the relationship between salvation and good works. Really difficult for us to get sometimes, and it's hard for our children to get in a world where it's always this for that. If I do this, then I get that. Nothing is free in this life. Well, this is the great exception and the eternal exception. So if we break it down here in this story, we can see it, and then we can confess it. So if we look at the full sequence of events, the story doesn't begin with Zacchaeus promising to give back to the poor. The story doesn't even begin with him running to see Jesus. The story begins with Jesus and his ministry and his work. He's been preaching and helping others. That word has spread throughout the land. Zacchaeus has heard it, and he tries to find Jesus because of what Jesus has done, not because of what Zacchaeus has done. But even then, it's not Zacchaeus who makes the claim on Jesus, but Jesus works on Zacchaeus. He looks up and he sees him and he declares, I must go to your house. Once again, Jesus' action, Jesus' words, and these are the things that work faith, the word of God in the hearts of people like Zacchaeus and in our hearts, our students' hearts. And that's such a very important thing to make clear, because we can almost pass over it in this story. But the real moment of God's forgiving reconciliation comes at the point, at the meal, during which Jesus and Zacchaeus share the expression of full fellowship. Jesus has come to his house. He's eating with him. This is all part of this forgiveness and this reconciliation that has been brought about by Christ. And if we look at that meal, it's precisely the meal that represents the full forgiveness and reconciliation. The proof of Jesus' forgiveness is that he's eating with this man. They are together. And the proof of our forgiveness, when we dine with our Lord and with the saints above and the saints below, gathering with the people of God at the altar of the Lord to receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. That's a clear sign of our reconciliation. So here we have this beautiful, beautiful story of what God has done. And then we see Zacchaeus' declaration that he's going to give to the poor and restore those he's defrauded. This is what God, it's a response to the gospel. He's not trying to say, hey, God, look at me, look what I'm doing. This is my good work. He is already living in the favor of God, in the forgiveness of sins, and expressing through his confession and his actions that God has, yes, indeed, forgiven him and saved him. So that's the sequence, and it's really important, teachers, to drive that point home with your students this week.
In that very same line of thinking, is it also important to note that Jesus essentially invites himself over? I mean, he does not wait for Zacchaeus to issue an invitation, but he says, and you've repeated it here several times, I must stay at your house.
That's right. Jesus isn't waiting around, you know, and in so many of these stories that the gospel writers spell out for us, the events of Jesus' life and ministry, Jesus is very direct. He goes, he seeks out the lost. He addresses their sin. He grants his forgiveness and does so often with a miracle of healing or raising the dead, healing the sick, accompanying the spiritual miracles with physical ones. And that's how he works. He comes to us in his word. He comes to us in his water and word, in holy baptism. He comes to us when that word is preached and read in his house. When a fellow Christian shares that word with us, perhaps when they are calling us to know our sin and share God's word with us so that we repent. It's always through God and his word working in us that call us to repentance, call us to faith, and the only way that we can believe and repent and look to God is through his Holy Spirit working through his word and sacraments.
When Jesus says, again in that last line, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, who is included in that? Is anyone excluded?
Great question. Obviously, the people gathered that day thought there were some exclusions. But let's recall that verse in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not even one is saved. Psalm 14 tells us they have all turned aside. Everyone has turned to his own way. You, me, our students, their families, the people on the street, the people in the pew, we have gone off the path. We've strayed from the way of salvation, every person on the face of the earth. That's who Jesus comes to seek and save. That's who the lost are. And that means that Jesus has come for everybody. There's no sinner too great. There's no person who can't be saved through the power of God's word. You know, we live, though, in a world that places value on sin. And there are people who, you know, there's public scandal and public sin, and we think we just don't know how they could ever be reconciled, how they could be forgiven. But to think that, then we have to be honest, how could we ever be forgiven? How could we ever be saved? Because we are in our old Adams, in our natural state, as evil and wicked as the next man or woman. So Jesus comes for all. His forgiveness is all. He reconciles, forgives, and heals the greatest of sinners. He forgives, reconciles, and heals us.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And next week we'll be talking with Pam about Peter's denial of Jesus. We'll be firmly within at least in the text of Holy Week. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Folks, have you heard this story? I remember hearing this first from a fellow Christian who's trying to convince me that in this postmodern age, truth is all a matter of perspective. The story that was told was the story of the blind men and the elephant. You know that story about six blind men and they all surround the elephant. They each feel a different part of the animal and they each come to, well, different conclusions about what an elephant must be like, and none of those conclusions are very accurate. Is that how Christianity understands our knowledge of God, as kind of a half-true perspective? I'm answering that question in a most recent Issues Etc. journal article that you can get for absolutely free. Just send us an email to journal@issuesetc.org. The article is called The Blind Men and the Elephant, also in our Wittenberg Trail feature in the journal. Pastor Christian Teeves has written about the wisdom of God that brought him from being a committed agnostic and Darwinist to a believer in Jesus Christ. You can read both of these articles and find other resources in the Issues Etc. journal. It's absolutely free, and you can have it simply by sending us an email, journal@issuesetc.org. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, March the 19th, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa is going to join us. We're going to talk about a practice that has an ancient pedigree in the Christian church. There certainly is much to be said of confession and absolution in the New Testament, and one of the ways that the church has found beneficial in practicing it is in a private way, an individual way. We'll talk about private confession and absolution in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. straight ahead.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.